I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is TC Daily, the technology show brought to you by Tech Central. If you haven't subscribed yet, the address to use is youtube.com/TechCentral. And while you're doing it, why not subscribe to our daily newsletter at techcentral.co.za/newsletter, and you'll get all the latest local and international tech news, and you'll also be alerted whenever we post a new episode of TC Daily. Now, I'm very pleased to welcome our next guest into the studio. Mteto Nyati is a very well-known South African businessman, a former CEO of Altron Group. He also headed up MTN South Africa for a number of years. And prior to that, I think the first time I met him was when he was MD of Microsoft South Africa. Mteto Nyati, thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Oh, Duncan, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Well, you've been busy lately. You've been in the headlines up to some interesting things. You've been appointed to a number of boards, including the boards of Telkom and of Eskom, which we'll talk about a bit later in this discussion. But the reason you're in the studio today is because you're making an announcement about an investment that you're making, a significant investment, in a company called BSG, which is, I believe, is a technology and business consulting firm. And you're buying a 40% stake in BSG for what I presume is an undisclosed amount of money.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Tell me a bit about BSG. How did you meet these guys, and why are you investing in them?
When I left, or when I decided that I'm going to leave corporate, I wanted to not leave completely, but I wanted to have a vehicle where I've got a significant skin in the game. And so that I can also influence directly in terms of where the growth of that company would be going. And BSG, when I announced, the very day when I announced that I'm leaving Altron in January last year, I received a call from this gentleman who his name is Greg Race, who is the founder of BSG. And he indicated to me that, hey, man, I see that you are leaving. I don't know what your plans are, but can we chat? You know, because I think that there's an alignment here between what you stand for and what I stand for. Greg is somebody that I met many years ago whilst I was still, as you indicated, in Microsoft.
Okay.
We were both, sitting and receiving awards. There's a Deloitte's Best Company to Work For award. I was representing Microsoft, receiving an award. He was also representing BSG, receiving an award in a different category. So somebody that I knew. It was just one of the many options that I had, but as we went deeper, I realized that there's so much alignment in terms of values, in terms of what we would like to see with regards to South Africa, the kind of company that he has been building, and I felt that I could connect with this. And long story short, about 9 months later, we managed to close a deal.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about BSG and what they do and what their focus areas are. What are their strengths? Which industries do they focus on?
Yeah. BSG is a business and a technology consulting company. We currently have about 160 employees operating throughout South Africa. We also have got offices in the UK and in some African countries. But the primary, where we started, we largely a financial services-based consulting company.
Okay.
That's where we're very strong. But now with the focus that I'm bringing, I would like to move into other sectors like oil and gas, like telecoms, like manufacturing, because the approach that we take, we're doing something that is largely unique. We are known as South Africa as a country that is not so good when it comes to implementation. And this company is something that's one thing that they stand out with. They're very, very, very good in helping organizations to implement their strategy. Not just dreaming ideas, turning ideas into reality and leveraging technology to do that. So that's what we have done over 25 years, and that's what we'll continue to be doing, but hopefully doing it here in South Africa and in other parts of the world as we grow this business.
I was going to ask, is it purely a South African business at this stage, or does it have operations anywhere else?
It's got an operation in the UK, but we would like to really be much very selective in terms of the territories we go to. For example, Middle East may be one of the areas that we look at, and UK, and also maybe the US. But right now, we are very strong here in South Africa. Yeah.
And are there specific technologies that BSG works with? I mean, you mentioned you've met Greg in the context of Microsoft. Are they a Microsoft partner? Do they work closely with other technology companies?
You see, that is another difference with BSG. Right. It's not aligned to any technology company. And that is very important, because where we sit as trusted advisors to our clients, where we will have to help them based on the problem, whatever problem that they have, we help them to select the best technology. If we end up being aligned, then you'll end up being biased. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So we have to understand all of the technologies. You know, it could be Microsoft, it could be Amazon, it could be Salesforce.com, it could be Oracle. We have to understand all of that.
Okay.
But at the same time, we need to remain above those companies.
Yes.
And be able to advise correctly our clients.
Right. You know?
So that's who we are. But I would like to, as we move forward, I would like to strengthen, though, our relationship with some of the of these OEMs, mm-hmm. or the technology companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we need to be in the leading edge of all of these technologies. And they can help us.
Mm-hmm.
That partnership with the various companies would help us to stay abreast with regards to where the technology is going.
Yeah. So take me through a typical client engagement that BSG has. Mm-hmm. What sort of services do you provide?
Yes.
Is it purely a sort of an advisory role, saying this is what you should be doing, and then someone else does the implementation? Or do you also get your hands dirty, as it were, and help with implementation of software, for example?
Yeah. That's very, very important, that question. It starts at an advisory level where there's a pain point, where we would go and listen to the client and understand that they may have a pain point around customer mm-hmm. service, for example, or around, you know, just any. So, okay, we would like to implement this technology or this strategy, but in the past, we have had problems around the alignment between technology and business,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we generally will then go in there. We use the approach which is called an insights-led approach. So we get as much information from the client. It could be data that is coming from ERP system, CRM, or pure interviews with the client. Based on that data, us analyzing that data, we come up with insights that help then the client. We point them mm-hmm. to the right areas of focus. And that is probably the biggest differentiator, because we are not just, you know, all over.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the root of the problem,
mm-hmm.
to the heart of whatever, because it's informed largely by the data that we're getting. And once we have that, we gain the insights, we help them with the technologies, we then help with the selection of the technology. And we'll be sitting with the client, people like Altron and many right. other companies on the other side presenting their solutions, and we'll then help the client to select the best possible company to mm-hmm. deliver that. And on behalf of the client, who then manage the implementation mm-hmm. of those projects. So very much hands-on, very much neutral in the process, bidding for the client.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. Now, apart from taking a 40% stake in the business, you are going to become BSG's executive chairman.
Yes.
And you'll be replacing Greg Race in that
yes.
role.
Yes.
What will that job entail as executive chairman? Is it a full-time commitment that you're making here?
No, it's not. It's not a full-time commitment. It is me, of course, spending a percentage of my time with the leadership team mm-hmm. of BSG. My job is really to help shape the strategy and help with the execution of the strategy. I bring with me a lot of experience mm-hmm. That I would like to impact to the leadership team. You know, I'll be spending a lot of time with the coaching of the teams, also doing some engagement with clients together with them, you know, spending time one-on-one with management, you know, helping with their own development. And that that is something that I truly enjoy doing. Mm. That's why I wrote the book, Betting on a Duck, in the first place.
It's over here somewhere. You know, here it is.
Yes. I wrote that book yeah. because I just wanted to share as much of what I know as possible mm. with people. So I'll be spending a lot of time building the team. But operationally, we've got a CEO that is running, Juri Schoeman. He's a great guy. My job is to support him.
Yes. So BSG, I mean, you see bigger growth opportunities here, yes. otherwise you wouldn't have invested.
Yes.
Does this stay a private business, or do you see an opportunity to possibly list it on the JSE at some point?
Yeah. For now, Duncan, my focus is really about helping this business to grow, first here in South Africa, to move into even more and more sectors than it currently is at this moment in time. And then the next priority is to internationalize this business. Mm. So what happens after one has achieved that, possibly in 5 years' time, nobody can tell. But right now the focus is just right. to help the business to grow.
Understood. So yes. you talk about internationalizing the business. Are there yes. specific markets that you
yes,
want to
yes.
go after?
Already we are in the UK mm-hmm. and we'd like to do more business in that territory. And also having discussed a few, had a few meetings with some of the business people in the UAE, there's some possibilities for us to partner with a number of companies there. So that is another market that is a bit of interesting for us, and possibly the US, you know.
Okay, the US is a very different market, of course.
Yes, and of
risky.
Course, and US is not going to be like a blanket going. It will be specific, either following a client or being, you know, in a specific. In a specific state. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Now, you mentioned in the media release associated with your investment here, and it's not something you see in a media release very often, and that's you speak about fact that BSG's values matched yours, and you speak about your values being honesty and integrity, excellence, fairness, and family.
Yes.
It's not something that you often see in a media release from a company. You're talking specifically about values and why it's important. Can you maybe spend a few minutes talking about why that's specifically important to you and why that was a driving factor in your decision to invest in BSG?
Yeah. So I think for me, anything that I do, any association that I make, I'm guided by the alignment of values, you know, because, you know, you can be in an environment, but if the values are misaligned, I can hardly be myself, you know. So I always like to be authentic. I always like to be me, you know. And that starts with making sure that there is a values alignment. It's important as we look at terms of the South Africa that we're in right now, you know. For me, integrity is absolutely critical. A business that believes in ethical behavior is such an important thing, because it's important for me too. So to cut corners and try and succeed by doing wrong things, that's not something that I want to align myself with, because that's just not who I am. And this is the kind of company that has, over the last 25 years, just stayed doing the right thing, you know, and made sure that it stayed away from deals on from customer segments where it would find itself being challenged. And as difficult as it is to make those choices, I felt that these were the right choices that they have made, you know. And that is why I felt that, you know, I could be part of this organization. You know, so that's one thing, and also to if you can help an organization like this one to grow, it means that the very ideas, the very values that you cherish are values that are going to be impacting even more clients, even more people. You know, as we grow the company, we are going to be inculcating, we're going to be sharing these kind of values. So that's one thing. The other thing what I've seen is when it comes to, for example, fairness, fairness for me is a broad thing. It's fair in terms of all people being given the opportunities to progress and to develop in a company, you know. And this is a company where if you go today, it's reflecting South Africa, you know. It's reflecting 100% South Africa, but it's a company that is also reflecting excellence, you know. And the kind of work that they have done in the financial services is something that stands out, you know. And that to me is the kind of South Africa that I would like to see, you know, where we embracing, you know, all peoples of South Africa, but we're able to compete with the best in the world, you know, and that it's like a microcosm of what I would like to see our country being.
Yes,
you know,
yeah. You speak about fairness and honesty. Yes. We've seen some of the, I mean, even through the Zondo Commission, we've seen some of the what happened in this industry and
yes,
and bribes and corruption that took place in winning government contracts, etc. Were you surprised when you saw what was coming out of Zondo to see the extent of the corruption that was going on in the IT sector? And in your view, what can be done to stop it going forward?
Well, look, I never thought that this is the kind of stuff that is going on within our sector. You know, you always think that these things are happening there. Mm. And when I look at the number of our own companies in the sectors that were involved, that were named, I was surprised with that, you know. But I also am happy to see the kind of work that has been done by people like Stephen Van Coller, who came in an environment that was very, very difficult environment in EOH and was able to salvage the company, because that's important. You don't want the company to die, but at the same time, you want to change the culture to be a culture that is much more ethical, that has got honesty, they're, you know, respecting, you know, the ways of doing business. So we need more leaders like that. Mm. We need leaders that can come in and show and provide ethical leadership across the various companies that we work for. You know, and yeah, that's what we need, because people set the tone from the top.
Yes.
Yeah. And in this case of EOH, it was interesting to see that EOH was taking some of its own directors and charging them. And it just shows how much, you know, if you've got rot at the top,
yes,
what it can do. So we really do need to have that leadership that is ethical, but at the same time we also need employees that are vocal about things, you know. And many employees are good people, but sometimes we allow things to just continue, you know, when they are done by people that we either respect or are in higher positions. We need to drive this culture of reporting things.
What about consequences? I mean, very few people have gone to prison over state capture, at least not yet.
Yes.
Do you think the consequences are severe enough for the offences, the crimes that have been committed? Do you think we should be seeing CEOs in prison?
We should be seeing CEOs in prison. We should be seeing anybody that's involved in this kind of criminality going to prison, you know. And I don't think that we've got, I would say, light consequences. It's just that our justice system is just taking that much more, that's taking longer, you know. But ultimately, people are going to go to prison, You know, we just have to keep at it and stay, and the costs and the government need to just continue to do what it is doing.
Yes, yes. So do you think, I mean, your views, and I know you've been quite outspoken in the past on some political issues and the state of South Africa. What are your thoughts on South Africa right now, where we stand as a country, given everything we've been through, the experience of state capture and everything that's happened? You've recently been appointed to the board of Eskom, which we know is threatening our economic growth through load shedding and lack of investment in infrastructure. What do you currently think, Mteto Nyati, as a business leader in this country, are South Africa's prospects right now?
Look, I'm generally an optimistic individual. I look at some things and I see a glass being half full. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see right now. You know, many people would be concerned about, you know, all of the noise. But I look at, for example, we hear that SAA is going to be privatized. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big thing from where we were about just 5 years ago, you know, because now you will end up having an entity that has got a chance to be able to compete there, and it's going to be largely in private hands. And that's probably the best way of saving that organization, mm-hmm. right? A few years ago, none of us would be able to participate in the generation of electricity. Now, you know, the decision made by the president, he has opened up that, you know, that space for individuals to participate in the generation of electricity, and there is no cap.
Mm. Some people would argue, though, that why wait until SAA has basically failed to privatize it? Why wait until we're in an electricity crisis before you liberalize the electricity market? It's almost as if we're in crisis mode, reacting to things way beyond the point where we should have done something about them.
Some people would say that, right? They probably may be right in saying that. But what I'm looking at is the fact that what was the goal? The goal is for us to liberalize the space, mm-hmm. and has it been done? The answer is yes. You know, so that to me is the plus, mm-hmm. that I see. That hey, look, when I look at the Zondo Commission, all of its recommendations, and now we've got the president that has tabled, you know, the response of the party based on the Zondo recommendations, and largely he has followed some of the recommendations made by Zondo. That is a massive move forward. To some people, it may look like a small thing, but it's a big thing for the country, right? So when I look at that, I see that there are forces, there are positive forces. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to go through difficult situations for people to learn. You know, we have gone through that as a country. We are a relatively young democracy. We do not have a lot of experience around these things. And unfortunately, instead of learning from what other people have done, we have chosen to learn from the hard way. But the question, what I'm seeing is that there is actually a lot of learning, mm-hmm. that is happening. And that is going to set us in the right direction. So we need more and more progressive forces to be supporting what is emerging right now, mm-hmm. you know, and support that, not stop being critical, but support the forces that are moving the country in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So where do you think we're going to be in 5 years from now? Will load shedding be a thing of the past? will we be starting to generate the sort of economic growth in this country that we need to address the unemployment crisis?
So look, I think what the government has done, have been able to assemble a very good board in Eskom, and me being part of that board, I've seen how smart some of the people, most of the people that we have in on that board, and how action-oriented they are. Mm. And I have no doubt that we are going to be in a much better place. Hope is not going to take us 5 years to get to that point. You know, I hope it's going to be much sooner. But then look at the determination. I have no doubt that this, I mean, the team that has been assembled is doing the right things. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that your appointment to the Eskom board was unexpected, I think was your choice of word, as opposed to your other board appointments. Mm. How did your appointment to the Eskom board come about? Who phoned you and why did you say yes?
Yeah, look, it was not something that that was I honestly never planned to be sitting on the Eskom board. I planned to be part of BSG, but not this one. But when I received a call from the president and he asked to have a meeting, and he shared some of the challenges that this country is facing, which of course as a citizen I understand. I can see those challenges, and he felt that I could contribute in a small way in terms of addressing some of those challenges. It was very difficult for me, I think for anybody to say no to a request like that.
Yes,
it's affecting the country personally, and you know that there's something that you can do to contribute. I felt that okay, as much as I had not planned this, let me sign up instead of sitting and complaining on the side. I can actually be part of the solution, and that's what I'm trying to do.
I suppose when the president phones, you can't exactly say no, thank you. But you've also joined the boards of Telkom and Nedbank. Mm. Why those two companies specifically?
For me, one of the things that I like to learn, continue to grow myself, and get into spaces that I've never been. So the Nedbank space it provided me with an opportunity to be in an environment where I did not know much. I don't know much about the banking industry, but what I do know is that industry depends a lot on technology. So the partnership between me, you know, I would be able to help with regards to technology, but at the same time, the environment will help me to understand better a space that I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. So that is the thing that attracted me there, provide me with an opportunity to continue to learn and also to add value. Telkom really is one of those great assets that we have in this country, Telkom, and it would be nice to see that organization, you know, growing and getting stronger and being and having a positive societal impact, you know, and that's what I wanted to be part of a team that is helping that organization to be stronger.
You of course joined the Telkom board at a very interesting time because there were discussions. I'm not sure if it happened just before you, just after. I think it happened just after you joined with MTN. There was an approach from MTN to Telkom about a potential acquisition. What are your thoughts on consolidation in the telecommunications industry? You're a former CEO of MTN South Africa. You're now sitting on the Telkom board, so you've got unique insight into the issues facing both organizations. Mm. Does a combination of the two organizations make sense? Do you think that they might return to the negotiating table at some point? What's your view of consolidation in the market, and do you think it would get past the competition authorities?
Look, There are things like what we are asking now is really something that was discussed in a board sessions, which I honestly would not want to have to share any of my thoughts around. No.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair enough. But maybe just your views on consolidation in the telecommunications industry as being.
I think this is something that that is natural. Mm-hmm. You know, it's happening in all of the markets. I think to some extent it probably will happen here in South Africa. We've seen Cell C, in a way, depending a lot on the network of MTN, that in itself is some form of consolidation at an infrastructure level, you know, and this is happening in all parts of the world. So I think we're not different. We'll probably move the same way in South Africa as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Teta, before I let you go, you spoke in the press release about your investment in BSG, about being at a stage of your life where you want to leave a legacy. Mm. First of all, a comment: you're too young to be wanting to leave a legacy, surely. Yeah. And secondly, what sort of legacy do you want to leave? What do you want people to remember you for?
Yeah. So, you know, when I left Altron, and I wanted to be part of something where I've got a skin in the game. I did that because I felt that I still have the energy. Mm-hmm. And I need to do this thing now that I still have the energy. You know, and 5-10 years down the line, when I look back, I would have had the opportunity to build something that is quite, you know, mm-hmm. When you look back and say, wow, this is a good... So that's why, you know, I left at the time that I left. And I want to be part of an organization that yes, is driven by profit, but it's not just the only thing that drives us, that cares deeply about the society in which it operates and is able to positively impact that society. Impact it in many ways. In our case, we are an organization that is helping other companies to implement their strategy. Mm. If we are successful, those organizations will be successful and we'll have a stronger banking sector. We'll be having sectors that are able to compete globally. That is the kind of impact that I would like to have, where when I look back through the interventions or through the engagements of BSG, I can say these many companies are there today, are global players, are being globally competitive, largely because of the work that we have done. You know, strengthen them, we have made them to be world class, and at the same time, within BSG, we are an organization that cares, an organization that is diverse, mm-hmm. embracing all South Africans. You know, that is what I want to leave. An organization or a South Africa that is getting us closer to what the constitution of this country had in its mind.
Teto Nyati is the newly appointed executive chairman of BSG. Always good to talk to you, and thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.